I want to read one other verse in 1 Corinthians. You don't have to look it up. Just listen. You 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. What Judas did not know. Judas was one of the 12. And Judas got a bad rap, but I think Judas was just an ordinary guy. Just like you and me. He had been with Jesus just like all of the other 11. He had seen the miracles. He was a part of the conversation on a regular basis as Jesus was teaching. He knew what was happening in the political environment of that time. He probably loved Jesus a lot. He probably was trying to, some researchers says that he was trying to make Jesus be more political. He was trying to box Jesus in so that Jesus would have to make a decision and come forth and make a political statement, and he was hoping that it would be along his own line of thinking. Except Jesus was listening to another voice. And you know that Judas kissed Jesus to betray him, and that the priests and others came to arrest him and kill him, but it did not go the way that Judas had expected. And then Judas repented, and he had kissed Jesus or identified Jesus. That was, you know, back there they had an identification program too. Just thought that's an aside. And so Judas kissed Jesus to identify him. And once he saw that Jesus, that they were going to kill Jesus, he repented and he came to try to return the silver, but it was too late. And then Judas felt guilt and shame. And he went and he committed suicide. Have you ever felt guilty about anything? I was reading a story about Frederick Buchner, who was an author, and he tells about when his father, he was a little boy, his father had committed suicide, and his father left a note for his mother, and his father said, I adore you, I love you, and I am no good. I adore you, and I love you, and I am no good. Those are the words that Buchner's father left him. And he said, for years he tried to, when people will ask him how his father died, he would say, my father died of heart trouble. Judas had heart trouble. He was filled with guilt because he had let Jesus down. I got a feeling that somebody in here this morning, you're looking good, but I got a feeling there's a cover-up going on somewhere. Somebody that knows what it feels like to have to wrestle with guilt and shame. Guilt is when you feel like you have done something wrong, but shame is when you feel like God made a mistake and you are wrong. So I want you to try to put yourself in Judas's position, the savior of the world, God's only begotten son, somebody that you've been with for 3 years and you had intimate conversation with, and you betrayed him, and now they are about to kill him, and you know that you think in your own mind that you are the reason and that there's no way that you can change the situation, and you have this sense of heaviness that rests upon your shoulders. And not only does it rest upon your shoulders, but it rests upon your spirit, and you can't see any way out that you'll ever feel joy again. You feel like the only way, only thing I can do is just end it all. I messed up so bad that I don't even have a future with God. Look at somebody and say, you got a future with God. I don't care how bad you mess up. I don't care how you fall short. I don't care how low you go. I don't care how deep the pit is. God's grace is more than your failure. Don't you dare quit too soon. Judas, he really wasn't any different than Peter, really. I mean, Judas kissed Jesus, but Peter denied him. Thomas doubted him. How many of you feel that Jesus would have forgiven you? I know he would have. But guilt was so heavy. And so painful. And what Judas did not know, that Judas didn't know everything that he should have known. And you don't know everything that you should know. We do look through a glass darkly. But one of these days we'll see face to face, and you don't understand how what God is doing in your life and how God is working it out. You just see that you're unemployed right now. You just see that somebody walked out on you right then. You just see that you're sick right now. But there's life on the other side of your crisis. If you just hold on, God will work it out. Oh, I wish to God, I wish to God Judas would have known. It was a terrible thing. Don't misunderstand me. It was a terrible thing that Judas did. How many know that Judas made a bad choice? Have you ever made a bad choice? You made more than one bad choice. What Judas did not know was that this terrible situation was not hopeless. What Judas did not know, that all was not lost. What Judas did not know was that despite the dreadful choice, he still had a future with God. Oh, I know some of us have made some bad choices. We've told some major lies. Oh, we've made some bad decisions in our relationships, and we have cheated, and we have done all manner of things, and we have fallen short, and we feel way down yonder by ourselves. But the good news of the gospel is God will never give up on you, and don't you dare give up on yourself. There is a bright side somewhere. If Judas had just waited, and thanks be to God, when you are going through your downtime, that God will send somebody along and encourage you and ask you, just hold on just a little while longer. That'll hug you and they will affirm you and say, I got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. Don't you quit on God. Bible says, Judas was looking at himself. How many of you know that? I don't think anybody can be more critical of me than I can be of me. I mean, you ever had a pity party for yourself? Oh, I know. Can't nobody love me. I'm just a wretch. Oh, I'm just terrible. Oh, if they only knew what I was thinking. If they only knew what I was feeling. Oh, if they just knew my past. Oh, I am just what grace got me covered. That's why I wanted him to say, he touched me. That's why I wanted to sing, shattered beneath a load of guilt and shame, he touched me. That's why I wanted to sing, his grace and his mercy brought me through. I wanted to sing, if justice had been done, I would be dead. But grace woke me up this morning. Started me on my way. I got some good news for you. Grace! It's the order of the day. Judas, looking at himself and his life, he looked at himself through a glass darkly. Somehow, you gotta let the guilt go. You don't want guilt to turn to shame. How many know shame is deeper than guilt? Everybody got some guilt. But if you're not careful, guilt will metastasize, I think that's it, into shame. And it's harder to get rid of shame than it is guilt. And I got some advice for you. Let it go. It's over. It's done with. Let it go. Judas went out. It's amazing to me when I read this text. None of the other 11 came along to try to encourage him. I mean, he's in the posse. He's in the group. I assume they were somewhere around. Not one of them. My grandmother said, nary one. Went out to try to talk him out of it. But it might be that he just made up his mind. He was feeling so bad. Sometimes when you're in a funk, sometimes you don't want to be around anybody. Have you ever known somebody that committed suicide and you didn't have a clue what was going on? It might have been that case. And by the way, let me say another word about parents. I've seen parents in this church. Parents who dedicated their lives to their children. Parents who've gone without so that their children could have. And the children went out and did something stupid. And then the parents blame themselves. Don't you dare blame yourself. Sometimes you did all you could do and the kids just got involved with the wrong crowd. Pray for them. But don't you go through a guilt trip about what you didn't do. You're not perfect. You put it in the hands of God and let God work it out. Judas knew that he blew it. He knew that he knew that this is just not a regular mistake. This is a biggie. Jesus probably would have forgiven me for not showing up for prayer meeting. But this is a biggie here. I betrayed Jesus. I'm on the deacon board and I betrayed Jesus. And he went out and got a rope and hung himself. Killed himself. That's a quick death, you know. I don't know, you know, too many of us in here is probably not going to go out and hang ourselves or shoot ourselves. And I'm certainly not going to cut myself. I can't deal with the blood. But many of us, we've got this guilt. We've got this heaviness. And we got a heaviness. I don't care. You can get up and sing and you can shout. You feel better for 10 minutes. But when you go home, the heaviness is right back there. Do I have a witness in the house? You need something better than just a nice song. The as this heaviness of guilt of yesterday's sins that just rob you of your joy and rob you of your peace. And you've been living with this stuff for a long time. And you and I are like Judas. We go out and we commit suicide. You say, "I don't commit no suicides." Yes, you do. You eat yourself to death. You got a slow suicide. You drink yourself to death. It's a slow suicide, but it's a suicide nonetheless. Do I have a witness in the house? I want you to know, Jesus came specifically not to give you a new house. I don't know if Jesus is concerned whether you live in the ghetto or the suburbs. I doubt it. But he did come to give you peace. He did come to deal with guilt. And he did come to deal with shame. He did come to say that I don't define you by the one bad choice you made. I define you by where you're going and do you believe in my grace and my mercy. Somebody needs to hear this today. Somebody is teeter-tottering on quitting and throwing in the towel. Somebody is not feeling good about themselves. Somebody is feeling Jesus couldn't possibly love me. God, somebody is feeling that I have blown it. I've made one bad choice after another bad choice. Somebody's thinking I'm no good. And I'm not worthy of being loved. Jesus values you so much that if you were the only person in the world, he would come and die for you. If Judas had just hung in there for a little while, he died before the resurrection. He took his own life. He put his own life in his own hands. How many know you got to put your life in the master's hand? Old Peter that denied old, I started to say old lion Peter. Yeah, he lied. Old lion Peter lied. But he stayed around long enough to experience the resurrection. Look at somebody and say, "That's good news." Good news of the gospel is you might not have a whole lot of money in your bank account. You may not have nice car, nice house, may not be able to travel around the world. But I got some news for you. If you're miserable here, you'll probably be miserable in Paris. Now, you know that place you talk about, you're going to take the midnight train to Georgia? You better just go to church and ask God to clean you up and detoxify all the mess that's in your life and ask God for the forgiveness of sins and give me a clean heart and a pure mind and make me pure again and forgive me of all unrighteousness that I might know you and the pardoning of sins. Then after you get cleaned up, then go to Georgia. Some of us have messed up big time. How many of you know that sin has a tendency to magnify itself in our minds? The secrets. Anybody know what a secret is? The secret sins magnifies and blows himself up in our minds, and we convince ourselves that nobody is as bad as we are and nobody has messed up as much as we have. And I want you to know there's a whole bunch of us that's messed up just like you. All of us. I don't know. We ever talk too much about suicide? But this is really not about suicide. is about peace. And it's about hanging in there with Jesus. It's about trusting him with your life. It's about knowing that grace is the order of the day. I remember reading somewhere about this man who was an alcoholic. And he was drinking heavy. And he was abusing his wife and abusing his kids. And this church youth worker was working with his son while this father was abusive and drinking like crazy. But somehow this father, how many of you know you can be an alcoholic and you still can be a very gifted person? His father was a carpenter, and so this man invited the father to come and put some tiles down in his kitchen. So he asked him ahead of time, well, how much is this going to cost me and how long is it going to take? He said, well, it's going to take me 3 days. It's going to cost you $350. So when the man finished putting down the tiles, he was talking to the man. He said, well, I want to talk to you about the money. And the guy said, oh my God, I know you. Here we come. I got it in writing. You agreed for $350. Don't come change. This is what he's thinking. So the man says, he started to hand him the bill, and then he said, "What? Before, I want you to know that I'm an alcoholic. And a few years ago, I was very abusive to my wife and to my children. In fact, I almost lost my family. But during that time, you were there for my oldest son, you and your wife. And he could have gone in either direction. He could have gone right or left. But thanks to you, my son is okay when I was not myself. He says, and I never thank you. Because all of that time, I still had a relationship with my son. Not because of me, but because of you and your wife. So I want to thank you. So then he handed him the bill, and he had written across the top, paid in full. You and I have messed up big time, but thanks be to God through his son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for our sins. And at the top of the bill, he's got written, paid in full, written in his blood, in the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. One more little story I read. I read about these stories, these fishermen, they were sitting around the table, I guess at some bar, a pub, however you want to put it, talking about fishing stories. Any fishermen in the house? I know Ben out there. Ben's a fisherman. Talking about the fish that got away. You know. And the guy's talking about the fish. Oh, God, that was a whale. It was that big. And while he was doing this, The waitress was bringing him drinks, and he knocked the drinks out of her hand, and it splashed all against the wall. So the owner saw it and said, oh my God, I'm going to have to paint the whole wall over again. Somebody, a stranger, was sitting there and says, wait a minute. Let me see what I can do with it. So he took out his paintbrush. He began to sketch where all of the beer head was on the wall. And after a while of working, a figure began to be made plain. He drew on the wall where the beer was, a figure of an animal scene with antelopes, And it was a beautiful sight. He didn't have to repaint the whole wall. And what I'm trying to tell you, God can make something out of the mess you made of your life. He doesn't have to start all over again. He can make something out of the mess. He can make you a beautiful picture with a testimony that says, I was down, but God saved me, and God picked me up, and God cleaned me up. I have a testimony. Don't you quit on God. Just because you got a big sin, you got 10 gallons worth of sin, He's got 100 gallons worth of grace. Oh my God. If he had just waited. Probably. I don't know who wrote that song, Your Grace and Mercy. I don't know who wrote it. You don't need it. I don't know what he was going through. I don't know who wrote He Touched Me. I don't know who wrote it, but probably they were going through something. How many of you know the greatest music comes out of tribulation, and the greatest theology comes out of tribulation? If you ain't been through nothing, you don't have a testimony. You got to have some wrinkles on your face. You got to have some heart trouble every now and then. You got to be able to cry sometimes so that you can speak into somebody else's life. It bothers me, these people who always got all this praise and they ain't never been through nothing. Give me somebody that's got a testimony, that's cried some, that's moaned some, that's weeped some, and that's had some heartache somewhere along the line. Judas never experienced it because he took matters in his own hands too soon. So somebody dumped you. You're not the only one been dumped. I mean, I've been dumped by the best. Don't look at me like that. So have you. He ain't worth your life. She ain't worth your happiness. God's got something better for you. Don't you dare quit too soon. And then once He brings you through it, just one Sunday, come down here and give Him a crazy praise. People are going to be looking at you strange. What's the matter with her? When you say, when I think about the goodness of God and what He's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. When I think about what could have happened, when I think about, I was thinking about suicide, but I heard a word in church that says, don't you quit. When I think about what God can do, my soul says, hallelujah. 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 For saving a wretch like me. Amen. Doors for the church are open.